great privilege it is for me to be here. I retired in 2014, so I am, as I remind people from time to time, I am retired. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not working, see, but I'm retired enough so that my wife feels like, okay, he's not underfoot all the time. So, and that's really how our marriage has sort of thrived over the 53 years. You know, we together when we're together, and we bid each other good luck, and God seed when we're not together. I love the staff that we have here. I mean, I have been privileged to work with a number of staffs over my years, but this staff is really right there at the top as well. And I've been in some great groups of people. Also tell you that I'm very impressed with your vestry, and that is that they really take their leadership role seriously, but don't take themselves too seriously. And those two things, to me, always have to be hand in hand. And now to be with the search committee as they begin their work. And Maurice really doing a great job to whip that group into shape and really to be on task in terms of the search. My primary mission is to prepare for the new rector. I shared this with a group the other day, and that is that if you ever see in art a person who is pointing this way or this way, but pointing, you know who that is, right? John the Baptist. I know it's on the tip of your tongue. And John the Baptist is always pointing away from himself and saying, I'm not the one, but I'm preparing the way for the one. And that's really true for me. I'm not the one. I'm not your rector. But I am serving as priest in charge, which means that there are certain responsibilities that I have under the canons. And it's a privilege to work, though, with a team. And just to let you know, though, that my primary task is somebody is out there, and I'm hoping to prepare the way for them, which means that we'll try some things that you probably haven't done before. Primarily, because Jim and I are very kindred spirits, as you may have picked up on. But I'm going to introduce you to some stuff that will be part of the larger Episcopal Church, and that a new rector is likely to say, you've never done that. And so you'll be able to say, no. With Canon Ernie, we tried just about everything under the sun. I want to also, though, tell you that working with your deacon is a real joy. And I'm getting to know her and to trust her, and I hope that the same is reciprocal. But, I mean, her sermon this morning is an indicator to me that she really gets it. And she understands both the nature of the church and the nature of the tasks that are in front of us. One of my heroes is a guy by the name of Michael Marshall. I don't know if you've ever run into him, but he is a bishop in the Anglican, in the Church of England. And he came to this country to as a missionary, believe it or not. And I have been privileged to be with him any number of times. And one of the things that he talks about when people come to him and say, Michael, do you really believe that bread on the altar is the body of Christ and the blood and the wine is his blood? And Michael says, well, when I look out on my congregation on a Sunday morning and I realize what a motley crew we are, because we are, and that we have nothing in common save one thing, and that one thing is everything, and that one thing is Jesus Christ. And he says, if I can say that of you, as Paul does in this letter this morning, you are the body of Christ. He says, if I can say that, I don't have any trouble with the bread on the altar. And And it's really important that we affirm what we were told this morning and present it in such a clear way that we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So in that light, it's a privilege to be here, to be with you. And I look forward to how God's going to continue to lead us in the time that we have together. And I don't know how long that's going to be. My wife tells me it's not going to be forever, right? And she reminds me, even when I forget it, Ernie, you are retired. So, you know, but anyhow, having said all that, it's just such a treat and privilege and really blessing for me to be here with you. So I look forward to seeing how God's will, perfect will, continues to unfold in what we do. Thank you. Okay. You all move it along. I'm impressed. Does anybody have any questions they want to ask? Because this is at least one of those opportunities to ask a question either of the wardens or myself or your search chair. Any questions that you'd like to ask? Well, you are compliant with, I'm impressed. Yeah, but you do have a great team, and the fact that you don't have a lot of things indicates to me that you have a lot of trust in your leaders. And that's an essential thing. And I don't know where the prayer got lost this morning, but we do need to make sure that we're praying every week for the search process and really bathe the whole thing in our prayers. So we were missed for that this morning, but we'll get back there. And sometimes I forget where I am, to be honest with you, because I get lost in worship, so I don't always remember stuff. So you just have to remember, hold it, let's see, what did he say? Oh yeah, he said he's retired. So he's an old guy, and we've got him some slack here. But it's really, really important that we all have that kind of shared commitment, because this won't happen by itself. But you're off to a great start, and you really are organizing well, and we're going to present a good picture out there for the next rector. And somebody's going to look and say, you know what, that's where I want to be. And those are the gifts that I have to really help that congregation and also to exercise the gifts that God has given me. So I have every confidence in that. And I have been involved in a lot of searches. Trust me. In my 21 years of doing that, we had probably, you know, 7 or 8 or 9, sometimes as many as 15 vacancies a year. And when you consider the fact that congregations have a rector for about 7 years or less in average, you kind of do the math and you realize this is kind of an important part of congregational life. It's not unusual, and it's not something that you ought to consider as a problem, because it happens with great regularity in the life of congregations. So as part of the life cycle of a congregation and the way that we deal with it honestly and with every prayerful intention, it's going to make a huge difference. So you're involved in something that's part of the norm of congregations. And the fact that you've had a rector here for, 19 years or so is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful testament to you. There are congregations that actually have very long-term pastors, which we call this, repeatedly. And it sort of sets into the DNA of the congregation. And that's a wonderful thing, because it allows the kind of continuity and confidence that people need in order to really thrive So I'm hoping, and you're hoping, that the rector you call now will be here in 15 years or 16 years or 20 years. And you can do that as Jim did without going stale, but to really be renewed spiritually on a continual basis, and that's the kind of person that you're really looking for. So we want to be, I certainly want to be available to any of you who want to ask questions. I'm not here all the time, but we can work out a time easily to get together, and I'm here when there's a need. So it's really a great thing for me to be here with you. So I have been, I was with the diocese for 21 years, and then I've been ordained for 53. So you ought to know something about, in that period of time, although I'm discovering that every day is new, and how little I actually do know. But, we're in it together, and we'll support one another. Any questions? Any questions? Wow. So why don't we stand up? And offer it, you may know that when Jacob was out in the wilderness with his father-in-law Laban, who really was a formidable opponent as well as a father-in-law, and when the family took off, he chased them down, and out in the wilderness, he offered a prayer, and the prayer was one that we've often repeated. He didn't mean it altogether well, but it went like this when he talked to Jacob. I don't trust you, you don't trust me, but the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. And that's where the prayer comes from. So we certainly mean that in a very positive way. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give his peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and the months to come, and always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.